sacrificial, everlasting love, that you didn't just tell us that you loved us, you showed us. And you said that there's no greater love than a man who lays down his life for his friend. Well, you not only did it for your friend, but you did it for your enemies. It's easy to love people who love you, but it's really hard to love people who don't love you. In fact, they're against you, and yet you did it anyway. What an example. I know in my own life, it's very easy for me to love people who love me, but it's hard for me to love those who don't. And I look at my own sins and the ways in which I've been an enemy to other people, and yet they've accepted me with your unconditional love. So I thank you. I thank you for those that you've brought into my life, even here at this church, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, new friends, old friends, that continually love me in spite of my own weaknesses and failures. And I just thank you, God, for their commitment. But more importantly, Lord, we thank you for your commitment that we can love because you first loved us. I mean, we wouldn't even know what love is. We wouldn't have a clue as to what love was if you didn't tell us in your word and show us by your life. So help us, Lord, just to take a minute and pause this morning in the midst of our busy week, a busy summer, busy schedules, and just take a deep breath and ask you to breathe into us right now some things perhaps that we need to know that we don't know, but that when we do know, we'll have a better understanding of our identity, of our belonging, and our purpose in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Can you still hear me if I move this away? I guess you can. So, yes, there was a little bit change of plans today about the scripture because I've got a ton of scripture that I want to share this morning. So I thought maybe we would just go ahead and jump right into it. Well, God's amazing love is amazing, isn't it? And I remember growing up when I first came into an understanding of God, I always grew up knowing that there was a God, right? I mean, how can you not believe that there's something beyond yourself, right? I mean, did all this just happen by chance? We were up in northern Michigan this past week at a campground, a Christian conference, actually is what it was, and we're visiting our children and grandchildren, and we just rented a trailer, and then they came and they visited us, and we visited them. But it was fun being at this campground because it had all the amenities. It had a swimming pool, the campfire, had the good food and the songs and all the different games for kids and families. It was a family camp. And so we thought this would be kind of really neat to be able to just be together at a camp and just the coolness of the Michigan weather and the beautiful sea, well, Michigan. It's the sea without the salt, right? And so just taking, you know, the sunsets were absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you look at those sunsets and the sun rises and you think, wow, I mean, it's just awesome. And you know, when you're together in God's creation with what he created, it's like heaven on earth. And there's really nothing that comes close to something like that. Well, friends, the good news today is that it's going to be like that. All tears, all pain, all suffering, economic difficulties, racial difficulties, any kind of health issues, all of that will all be cured and everything will be at peace forever and ever and ever. That's what we have to look forward to. That's the good news. Yeah, suffering is tough, and we're going to celebrate communion in just a minute. But because of that, we have the peace and the joy and the love that is waiting for us. And so that's the good news. It really is good news. And so things might be difficult when we talk about Christianity, when we talk about the cross, but there's always a joy. And the sun always comes out after the storm, just like last night. So let's walk down memory lane for just a few minutes and look at some of the commands of Jesus before we get into the last seven words on the cross. Jesus had seven sayings right before he died. And I don't know if you've ever examined the seven sayings that Jesus had right before he died on the cross. But in those sayings, he revealed something more about his character that we need to know. So even in the midst of him suffering, dying from all that pain and bloodshed and a broken heart, which really would kill him more than anything else, he was ministering to us in that pain. Think about it in your own life. When you're going through pain and suffering, the last thing you want to do is be helpful to someone else, right? I mean, you want attention. You want sympathy, right? Misery loves company. I mean, that's normal. You want people, you don't have any strength within you to do anything else. And so, but Jesus overlooks that right to get empathy and sympathy from those whom he loved. He gives up that right and he ministers. He ministers to us. He ministers to his mother. He ministers to the few that were there at the foot of the cross. And even in the midst of his pain and difficulty, he's still loving. Wow. I mean, I can't do that. Can you do that? Well, you know, we can do that, right? Because we have Jesus that lives inside of us. We can go against our feelings, and we can just operate in the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And boy, does our culture need that, right? That coming against the things that are opposite of love with love, and to return good for evil, and to overcome evil with good. How do we get to that kind of society? How do we get to that attitude in ourselves? It's very easy to get a bad attitude, right? And so as we look into these things, maybe we can just look into our hearts for a few minutes as well. Well, I'm going to put it in hyperspeed for just a second. I know you guys can follow this because you do it all the time, right? Every day as we scroll through things. So I'm going to just scroll through some stuff today. As was mentioned by Lily, we've been looking at the commands of Jesus, okay? Jesus basically said about 50 things that we should know before he left the earth, okay? And these are some of them, okay? We've talked about coming to God. We talked about repentance, repent and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Basically, the first command of Jesus was to admit that you're wrong and that you have to change the way you think. And that's difficult, right? Who likes to admit that they're wrong? I mean, nobody likes to admit they're wrong. Jesus says the beginning of happiness is to admit that you don't know it all. And someone once said that maturity is that you're willing to think after you know it all, right? And we all think we know it all, right? If we're honest with each other, but you're still willing to learn. And so he says, look, you don't know it all. So just, you know, humble yourself. So then he says, humble yourself as what? He says, humble yourself as a child. And by doing this, you will understand that your identity is in Christ. We need to resist being labeled by our life's influences, by being labeled by our circumstances, by our friends, by our teachers, by our strengths, by our weaknesses, by our past. You are not a sum total of your past. You may have a really difficult disease. I had arthritis for over 30 years. And so I sort of got my identity from my sickness. Well, my identity is not in my sickness. It's not in my hurts. It's not in my appearances. It's not in my performances. It's not in other people's opinions. Our identity is that we're made in the image of God, and he loves us. And with this unconditional and sweet love, that's just beyond our comprehension. So he took off all the labels. Jesus Christ, when he died, he took off all those labels that people have been telling you who you are all your life. Or maybe you've been telling yourself who you are all your life. And he says, look, that's not, you don't even know who you are. Your identity is in me. And he took off all those labels and he gave us a new identity. Amen? He gave us an identity in Christ, not defined by anything in the past, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus lives inside of us. We are defined by God. We're not defined by goals. We're not defined by gold. We're not defined by even goodness. I mean, it's good to be good. It is good to be good. But we're not defined by our own goodness. You know, I'm a goal setter. I don't know about you. I mean, I like lists. My wife basically mentored me. I was a very unlist person. I mean, I sort of lived in my brain. I had these mental lists. But she's great with this. But I'm a goal person. I know what I'm going to do the next day because the previous day I sort of have an agenda. And so I can get my identity like, wow, yeah, I got this thing done. So now I'm an efficient person. I'm a man of efficiency. I'm an efficient pastor, you know. And you put these sort of adjectives in front of your names. I was like, wait a minute. I'm a relational person. Or, you know, I'm a compassionate person. Well, there's nothing wrong with adjectives. But even those adjectives don't really define you. You just take a deep breath and you say, I'm just in the family. Jesus is my Lord, but Jesus also is my older brother. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus is your older brother. Well, if Jesus is the Son of God, right, and you are a child of God, well, then it makes Jesus your brother. Now, he is a kind of child that's different than you, obviously, because he existed long before you, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And God only had one son. I understand all that. But we're in the family. We've been adopted in the family. We are in a family, a biological family and a spiritual family. And because we have that sense of belonging, then we get our identity and our purpose from that. So you got to be careful who you associate with, of course. Yeah, I appreciate Jeremy. Thank you for bringing your friends today as well.